You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and today, loving your enemies. Loving your enemies. On Words of Encouragement.
This morning I felt led to talk about loving enemies. What is an enemy? I found this picture and I loved it. These two little boys. I mean, they are this far away from taking a swipe at each other. I mean, it's getting real serious right there. An enemy. What is an enemy? An enemy is a person who actively opposes someone or something. In a sense, you can easily be an enemy of someone else simply by actively opposing them. That makes you an enemy. When you do this, a strong dislike, even a hatred, can rise up inside of you when you actively oppose someone sometimes. I'm not saying you can't actively oppose that which is wrong, but when you do it with a hateful spirit, there's something wrong. At that point, the focus of your life has changed from God to the issue or to the person. And as many times as people would like to dismiss this and say, oh, but brother preacher, man, you can't love everybody. And some people, they just deserve to be mistreated. Oh, I wouldn't say that, preacher. Let me see. They deserve to be, how are you going to put it? How do you put it? Loss of focus will always get us into trouble. It will get us into trouble. If you're able, I ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. The Bible says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Oh. May the words of God's Word be imprinted upon our hearts today, tomorrow, and forever. I invite you to be seated. First, I want us to look at the world's teaching and then God's teaching on enemies. This verse 43, you've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And it may have been actually said out loud to people back then. That may have been said. But it is a general consensus that we go many times by how we feel. We live life through our feelings. And so we will love our neighbor who is wonderful and nice. And we will just have an inclination to hate our enemy because they don't like us, so we decide we don't like them. And so I don't know that that is said these days, but it just happens. It is something that is common with us to think and to live out. It is a selfish and base way of living, but it is a natural way of thinking with our sinful nature still being a part of us. This is truly the way the world lives. In fact, it is odd to go against the grain of this. And what I'm saying is, it's odd to not hit back when someone hits you. It's odd in our world now to not snap back at someone when someone snaps at you. It is expected behavior for us to defend our honor, defend ourselves, and to snap back at someone who snaps at us. And that has become the norm. But the teachings of Christ go against the teachings of the world. And we see it time and time again. Where Jesus says one thing and the world says another. The world says it's fine, do this, treat people this way. And then here comes Jesus. And he is opposed to the teachings of the world. And he says, no, you know, you've heard it's been said, you've heard people do this, and you've heard that this is the norm. But I say unto you, why does it matter what Jesus says? Because maybe he's the Son of God? Because maybe he is the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Messiah? Maybe because his word matters more than any of man? Just maybe. Jesus calls on us to live separately from the world. He calls on us to stand out, and for some of us, that is most uncomfortable. We don't like to stand out in a crowd. We don't like to stand out in a group of people. We don't want to be the one who says something that everyone looks at and says, well, okay, wow, whoa, that was, huh. There's a way in which we say things, obviously. There's a way in which we share things, obviously, that are in love and out of a heart of kindness, but even then are going to be opposed to the world. And sometimes people are going to choose to be offended simply because they do not like what we say. We speak the truth of the Word of God, and people just may not like it. They may not want to hear it. I'm having a battle with a friend of mine. Can't get into it too deeply, but amazing. I say it's a battle, but there are people in our world that just who are so they're just against the teachings of God's word. They're against God. They're against the church. They're against man's ideas of what God said. And I can go with that. I can understand how man comes along and adds things, and we don't think we're adding things, and we say things, and it may not have been what God said. And I know that we make mistakes. We're men. We're people. We're women. We are humans, and we make mistakes. But not God. Not God. The greatest part about being called to live differently is that God, through His Holy Spirit, enables and empowers us to live the life we're called to live. This is what I like about being a Christian. I don't have to muster up the energy. I don't have to muster up anything. I simply need to allow God to work through me. I simply need to know what He wants me to do. How do I know that? By keeping in constant contact and communication with Him. That's the only way I'll know what He wants me to do. And then when I know what He wants me to do, I know that I can do it because it's not me doing it, it's God through me. And I know that I can go out, I can step out, and I can ask a question that some people would never ask. Another person, where are you with God? What do you believe in God? Are you someone who believes in God? Or where are you with Him? Oh my goodness, that is, oh, we're not supposed to talk about those things out in public. Whoa. How about in private with the person? Oh, well, I don't know. Politics, religion, and money. Religion, yeah. Talk about religion. We're talking about a relationship with Almighty God here. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus. That's what we're talking about. And people need to hear it. They need to know that He loves them. But the greatest part, I think, about being called to live differently is that God does work through us. He empowers us. He enables us. Where we find it difficult to do what He's called us to do, we must remember we are not alone. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He may have called us, or He does call us, to do that which we cannot do on our own. But He does it in order to teach us to lean on Him. We have got to learn to lean on Him for all things, all things. I wish I could tell you, I just read it yesterday. There was a passage of Scripture I was reading, and it just once again, boom, there it was. We've got to learn to lean on God. It was evidence of that teaching just one more time for me that we've got to learn to lean on Him. Look at verse 44. You've heard it was said, again, look at 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh. Why don't we skip that? Let's just skip that. Hey, because that's uncomfortable. I don't like that. That's a hard thing. Why can't we just? Unfortunately, there it is. And more unfortunately, let me say, who is it that is saying this? Jesus. Oh, we can't skip over that. We can't dismiss that. We can't act like it's not there. We've got to face it. As children of God, we've got to face it. Jesus is seeking to teach us to lean on Him for support. And so He then just says, hey, I want you to love your enemies. He knows you can't do that. He knows you can't muster up the energy to get out there with a fake smile, because you know it's fake. Because you're mustering it up yourself. You know, it's not from the heart. And Jesus says, I know you can't, and I'm going to call on you to do something you cannot do, because I am going to be here with you to enable you to do it. I am here for you to lean on. And please, please, please lean on me. He calls on us to love our enemies. This love, I looked it up, this is to have a great affection, our care for, our loyalty towards. Oh my, what? A great affection for my enemy? Listen, why are they your enemy? Did they do something to you? Did they say something to you? Huh. Because that's how we wind up labeling or having an enemy. They've offended us in some way. They have offended us in some way. And so in our minds and our heads, we mark them, stamp them on their head, enemy. Well, they're just one of my enemies. Interesting. It's because they've done something. Well, let's step back. Let's look at this person as a person, a human being in this world who has the same needs that you have, a need to be loved, a need to eat, a need to be clothed, a need to have some source of income somehow. The same needs. And let's look at them as a person and say, okay, they are a person. Okay, yes, 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 they need to be loved too. Well, who is going to do it? Who is going to love the one who has crossed you and offended you? You're going to have friends that are going to rally with you. Oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, all that talk happens. I know how it works. I've seen it. Oh, yeah, they offend. Oh, I'm on your side. I mean, boy, oh, then all of a sudden we got sides, you know, and it's like, what is this? And, oh, yeah, I'm on your side. They offended me, too. If they mess with me, they mess with you, they mess with me. And, I mean, boy, it just gets all hairy and bad and big and ugly from that point forward. Jesus says, love your enemies. Have an affection for them. They are people in need of love. They are people in need of care. Yes, they offended you. And you're in the deepest dark recesses of your soul just feel that that cannot go unpunished and that somebody needs to do something about that person because they have offended you. And boy, you just let it sit there and fester and fester and fester, and it just, as Jimmy Stewart says, it gnaws at you. And you just get so upset. And it's like, wow. Maybe this person needs to know who Jesus is. Maybe this person needs to experience the love of God Himself. You and I are the hands and the feet of Christ. We bring the love of God with us wherever we go. They need to see it. They need to experience it. It's only possible to do it with the love that God has placed in our hearts. It's the love that He's placed in our hearts that enables and empowers. It's His love that we use when we're loving everyone. Because you can't come up with it yourself. You just can't do it. You can fake it. Fake it till you make it, preacher. Fake it till you make it. You can fake it. That's just, but I'm afraid some people can tell. I'm afraid some people can tell. I had a friend of mine in college, and I tell you what, she was something. She had this way about her that it was like she just wanted to rip into you and just tear you up verbally, but instead of doing that, she was going to do the right thing, and it was this fake smile. You knew, and it's like, well, what if it's in your heart? You know, I mean, good night. You've already sinned, you know. What are you doing? Oh, you know, very condescendingly, you know, this look of, oh, bless your heart. You know, and I just think, wow, we can't do that. God has called on us to love our enemies, and yes, it's going to be hard, but also, yes, it is possible. This ability to love is a mark of maturity. It proves we are maturing as children of God, and we're not just simply still little toddlers in the family of God. You know, toddling around and, oh, he hurt me. Oh, I'm going to hurt him. And, oh, look, what happened? God expects us to grow as his children. Not to stay little babies. He expects us to grow, and he wants us to grow, and he enables us to do that. So we grow. Does this mean, and this is the question that is always asked. Not this particular question, but questions like this are always asked of me whenever I preach on loving enemies. Does this mean that we have to have them over for Sunday dinner? Does this mean we've got to have them at our house at Christmas? Brother Craig, now you listen. You don't need, we're not going that far. I'm sorry, preacher. We're not going that far. Okay, all right. It may eventually lead to that, which would be nice. But in the meantime, we have got to choose to treat them with kindness and gentleness, which are fruits, evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. They've got to see that Jesus reigns in our hearts. They've got to see that he makes a difference in our living and the way we treat people. They want to see it. They know that there are people in this town who have held grudges forever. And it's like, wow, you're living with that? You and your grudge? Y'all go on vacation together? Y'all go to the store together? Y'all go to the park together? You and your grudge, y'all do stuff all the time together. I'd rather live grudge free. I can't do that. I can't live with a grudge like that on me. It's uncomfortable and it's unholy, ungodly. We just can't do that. And so God calls on us. He calls on us to love our enemies. God wants us to see them as people. They are people who live on this earth, and they were made by him just as we were. He calls on us to love them. Is that hard? Yes, but is it possible? Yes, with his help. It's possible. He also calls on us. Oh, wow, look at that. Love your enemies. And then let's just go one more step, Jesus says, and let's pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. But God, they offended me. They made me mad. They stole something from me. They mistreated me. They called me out in public, made me look like an idiot. Whatever it was they did, but God, look, they offended me. And how am I supposed to pray for them? I don't know, but if you start praying for them, even sarcastically, that at some point you're going to get to a good spot in your prayer for them. So I'm proposing, now look, it's not in the Bible, but I'm proposing that if you're like, I just can't pray for them, you start. God, change them. God, you make them right. You make them bring back what they stole from me. You make them apologize to me. You make them blah, 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 blah. You may start off like that. But at some point, God is going to help you to realize that they are a person like you, and they have feelings like you, and that they have been offended at some point in their lives too, and that they need to know that somebody cares about them. And you and I are going to have to be, need to be the ones who show them the love of God. And sometimes you can start off in an unholy way praying for them, but wind up finding your place in the right place in praying for them and saying, oh God, they need help. They need your love. They need to experience the forgiving Spirit of you, Father. They need to experience your kindness, your gentleness. Lord, help them experience that. You know what happens? You know what happens when you start praying that way? God's going to say, okay, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to show them that kindness, to show them that gentleness, to show them that forgiveness, to show them that love. Now, don't you walk out of here and say, well, I'm not going to pray, man. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be there. I don't want to have to be the one that shows them love. I don't want to be the one that has to do that. Surely, dear God, send someone else. Do you want to be used by God? Do you want God to use you in this world? Do you want to be one of His children that He says to, look, Craig, I got an assignment for you today. I got somewhere I need you to go. I got someone I need you to talk to. Let's go. And you're ready to go? Is that the relationship you want to have with the Lord? Or do you want to have the one where you're just thinking, well, I wish He'd call on me to do something. I just don't know why He's not calling on me to do something. And you've got ill will in your heart, and you've got, you know, something against someone, and all this is happening and going on in your life. This time we're to pray for those who are our persecutors, those who persecute us. I mean, what is behind their treatment? Why do they persecute you? Why did they offend you? What did they do? Why did they do that? I don't know why they did it, but something's happening. Something's happening in their life that needs the attention of the Lord. So you pray for them and say, oh, dear God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why they're treating people. They're not just treating me this way. They're treating other people this way. What in the world? God, something's happening in their life. Dear Lord, I pray for healing for them. I pray for strength for them. I pray for wisdom to make decisions that are correct in your eyes. We can pray for our enemies, those who persecute us. If we look beyond the offense, if we can look beyond the offense and say, well, now why in the world would they do that? Something's not right. Something is going on in their life. They need the Lord. Yes, so you pray. You pray. You pray with the assumption that you are living and behaving in the way that you should. Is there a reason why they are acting the way they are? We may never know, but we do pray for them. They are in need of the love of God. God says, love your enemies and pray for them. Oh, wow. Well, why do we need to love our enemies? Why? This is a good question. Look at the first part of verse 45. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So that you may be sons. So that you may be children. So that you may show yourself as children of your Father who is in heaven. Actual phrase is translated to so that you show yourselves to be sons of the Father. When you choose to love and pray for your enemies, you're showing yourself to be on a higher level, a higher plane, a godly level of living. That's what you do. You show that you're different. You're not like the rest of the people in the world who are snapping back and attacking back and holding the grudge forever and ever. No, you're living on a higher plane because you're called to live on a higher plane, and God can help you to stay and live on a higher plane. When you choose to love and pray for your enemies, you find that it is so much more easier than hating. Hate leads to suffering. When you choose to see your enemy as a person in need of love, then you will see them the way that God sees them. People are in need of His love. People are in need of that love that He has. And if you and I can see that, If we can look at everybody in our world. Look, I'll give you an assignment for this week. You go out in the world this week. You go to the grocery store, wherever you go, your business, wherever. And you look at people. Every single person you see is in need of the love of God. Every person you see is in need of the love of God. Every one of them. God desires to shine through you. When you choose to love and pray for your enemies, then His love is seen in you. And if your enemy does not see the difference, that the difference is the love of God, they will be curious as to what it is. They will wonder, why in the world are they treating me so nicely? What is going on? What is behind them treating me nicely? They will ask the same types of questions. Why are they treating me this way? They will wonder. You're in a position to share with them about who God is then. God wants to be seen through you when they look at you. When people look at you and they see your behavior, who do they see? I pray they see Jesus. I pray they see Jesus. I pray they're not seeing just, they're just like everybody else in the world. Ain't no difference between those Christian people and everybody else. Oh, they better see a difference. Oh, my prayer is that they see a difference. That's my prayer, is that they see a difference. God desires, He wants to be seen in your life. You are like a reflector, like a mirror. The love of God, the glory of God comes and boom, hits you, and it ought to go right on out and hit everybody around you. It ought to affect everybody you come in contact with. Man, that's how important you are as a child of God. You reflect His love and His grace and His mercy and His kindness, His gentleness. You're the one who reflects that all around the world. I've said this before a long time ago. I wish I could paint a picture of Winnsboro where every Christian, there was a little light from heaven shining right into their home. And we could look and see where all the Christians are and where all the lights are. And we would be probably surprised at how much light is out there. Now, I'm not saying how bright the light is. When we're living for the Lord, I think our light shines brightly. When we're not, I don't think it's really all that bright, but it's still there. Don't get me wrong, it's still there. If you're a child of God, you've accepted Him as your Savior and Lord, it's still there. The light is still there. But I think we'd be surprised how much light is in our community, but we've got to reflect it onto everybody around us. God wants to be seen in your life. The next thing, we're equal in the sight of God. We're equal in the sight of God. Look at the second part of verse 45. It says, "For He causes, His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Oh boy. Oh boy. Yet another reason to love our enemies is found in the truth that we all matter to God. He shines the sun on the evil and the good, rain on the just and the unjust. All of us are equal in value in His eyes. All of us are equally loved by His heart. From His view, we are not separated into friends and enemies. He sees us as individuals in this world, and He loves us. He looks at us and says, "I made all of those people. Those are all people I made." Look at verse 46. "And if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" Oh, let's just take one of the most hated sections of society right here, and let's just compare those who love you with, you know, those who love those who are like them with these tax collectors. Let's do this. Oh, wow. My goodness, even the hated tax collectors could get along with each other. The challenge is in loving those who do not love you. And that's what God did. He loved you. He loves you. He chose to love those who did not love Him. And He's chose to given to us through the mighty and supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, that same ability to love those who do not love us. He's given us that ability. Look at verse 47. "If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" Again, the Gentiles, not the most loved people there among the Jews. And He appeals toward their feelings, toward these Gentiles. Truly, the Gentiles greet each other. The challenge is in greeting those who are not like you and whom you do not like. The easy way out is to ignore those that you do not like. That's the easy way out. Is that the godly way out? No. But is it the easy way? Oh, sure. We always have a choice. The easy way or the godly way. Sometimes the godly way may be easy. But the easy way is not always the godly way. The Jesus way is to greet them anyway, to value them as fellow human beings. God loves us all. He loves us all. Encouragement. Encouragement to be like God. Look at the last part of verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect, complete, as your heavenly Father is perfect, complete. He is perfect. The word perfect in Matthew 5:48 does not imply sinlessly perfect, for that's impossible, though it's a good goal to strive for, let me say. You don't get off that easy. You don't say, oh, well, I'm not supposed to be sinless, and I'm okay. No. Oh, no. You seek to follow the Lord, and as you follow the Lord, you will find that you will do that which is right. So you focus on Jesus. It suggests a completeness, this perfect maturity as sons of God. It is growing up into the likeness of God, of Christ. What God is doing is calling on each of His children to conform to His character. That's what He's doing. When we do this, we are fulfilling our role in this world of being a light in the darkness. We are fulfilling the role of pointing people to God. And we've got to do that. The words of Leviticus 20:26 are now moved from God's people Israel to being the affirmed goal of the followers of Jesus. To the followers of Jesus. Listen to these words from Leviticus. Thus you are to be holy to me, set apart, holy. For I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. Again, emphasizing the difference between us and everybody else in the world. We are believers, so we live differently, we speak differently, we treat people differently, we live differently than everybody else. Because Christ is in us. So who points people to God even when there is trouble with enemies? Who points people to God? The children of God. The children of God do. The children of God. Who points people to God when they do not care about God? The children of God. That's you. That's me. We point them to Him. We're to conform to Him and be like Him as we live, breathe, speak, and work in this world. So no, it's not easy. God doesn't call us to do that which is easy. But God calls on us many times to do that which is difficult, because He knows then that we're going to have to lean on Him and we're going to come to Him. And God loves relationship. He wants us. He wants that contact, that communication with us. And when He says, look, love your enemies, you're, oh, now God, I know you said love your, yes, I did. And you're talking to me about it, aren't you? I love that. I love that. That he calls on us to do that which we cannot do, knowing that we will come to Him and say, God, I need help. And God says, I know. And I'm glad you're coming to me. I'm excited. Let's go do this loving enemies together. Let's go do it. Let's go do it together. Let's get out there. God says, love your enemies, pray for them. He also wants to be seen in your life in through those actions of loving your enemies and praying for your enemies. God loves all of us, and He wants us so much to be like Him. He wants that. The question is, do we? Do we want that? Do we want to be like Jesus?
Certainly a point to ponder, something to think about. If we really want to be like Jesus, we're going to have to learn to love our enemies. And that may be difficult. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking that it is hard. There are some people I just don't have time for. I just don't have room in my life for them. Well, God did. He even had room for you. My prayer is that you will wrestle with this and you will allow God to work through you, to enable you and to empower you to love your enemies. I'm praying for you. For more information about our church, about what we do here at the First Baptist Church of Winsboro, you can go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. And on that website, you'll find more information than you may need. But in case you have a question, you can also email us from that website. Please do that. We'd love to hear from you. We're seeking to walk with Jesus. We're seeking to become like Jesus. and we want to take as many people on that journey as we can. Remember, you matter to God and to us at the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro. Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement.